Systems initiated. You're listening to the Empire Podcast Network.
As an actor, I made a career out of surviving personal and family dramas on daytime television. Now, in real life, I've also had my fair share of challenges, just like everybody else. But TV and film can be a nice escape from our own daily struggles. Well, let's face it, life is not TV and film. Yeah, it's time to keep it real. With Real Conversations with Jacob Young, sponsored by Boys Town.
My guest this week is a country music artist and an actor who you know from a long list of television shows and movies like ABC's Mistresses, which included some of his original music. You've seen him as Derek with Jennifer Love Hewitt on the Lifetime's The Client List. He was Tommy Nutter on the acclaimed series Jane by Design. And as a country music artist, he's been writing like crazy, but he's had hits with Road with No Lines, All It Takes, and Closer. Now, he is John from the Sundance favorite, John Dies at the End. My guest this week is Rob Mays. You know what time it is. It's time to keep it real. Real Conversations with Jacob Young, sponsored by Boys Town. Rob, man, thanks for joining me.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on.
Yeah. I've seen you've been busy. You've been getting out there, man, not only writing music, but you're like all over the place playing.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. I think, you know, we were so shut down for a while. And there's a whole lot of chomping at the bit, you know, excitement and angst to get back to, you know, to what we do. So I've been, hitting the road and playing as many shows as I can and getting out there and traveling as much as possible.
Yeah, man. It's nice to see that. I mean, how has that been when you were playing a lot and then suddenly COVID hit and it shut down? I mean, I know it's like, what did it do to you mentally as an artist?
Man, it wrecked me. You know, I think, you know, we're in a place now where it's like, you know, when things first closed down, it was like, hey, it's Monday morning, but it's Friday afternoon in terms of let's have a drink. And, you know, there was a real kind of, I don't know, people were like kind of enjoying this time that was off and down. And, you know, people weren't really working. And so this is a nice little break. You know, we could enjoy Friday night happy hour, at, you know, 11 a.m. Monday morning.
Yeah. Bloody Marys. I got to say, I got used to it too.
Blamed,
I got right? used to it. Yeah. It was easy. But so easy, how did you overcome
a little bit of a reprieve? And I think that what was to come, which I anticipated coming, was that this wasn't going to be a 2-week ordeal. This was going to be very long lasting and have some really profound implications. And now here we are. And I think people are really starting to feel that. And I know that I've felt it. And, you know, I'm all about, you know, keeping the hope and having faith and all that stuff. But it's been some real, real trying times, man, when, you know, trying to make ends meet.
Have you been, I mean, you've been getting out there. You've done some acting jobs too recently. I saw some films that you were working on. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I mean, I've been fortunate in that regard. You know, I did a Western with Trace Adkins,
the man
in Nashville in February. And then, I essentially went straight to Georgia. And then I was down there for, I don't know, a little over a month doing a movie, a country music movie called Neon Highway with Beau Bridges and Lee Bryce.
Wow.
You know, two of my like,
huge
heroes, man. Yeah. I mean, Beau Bridges, one of my favorite actors, you know, to get to work with him was just insane. And it's me and him. And, you know, it's a real honor, real treat. Feel very, very blessed, to be a part of that.
Congratulations on that, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well deserved.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. They used some of my music and, you know, I'm on stage singing with the Lee Bryce and, you know, acting in almost every scene with the Beau Bridges. It was pretty wild,
dude. Well, it's no wonder to me. I've seen you perform. We worked on a Hallmark movie together and I've seen you play piano. I've seen you play guitar. Of course, if you follow Rob Mays on his social media, you have seen him also perform on stage. He's an amazing artist. You're an amazing artist, dude. This might sound like a redundant question, but what drove you to pursue a career in country music?
You know, I've been listening to country since I was a young kid. You know, people, when they find out I'm from Ohio and said, really, what? Ohio? There's country music there? I'm like, more than you'd believe, man.
What do you believe? Pepper Pike, Ohio? Is that where you're from?
Yeah, I grew up in the suburbs of Cleveland.
With a name like Pepper Pike, I would imagine they definitely play some country music there.
Yeah, it was, you know, WGAR is the main country station there. And actually, Carletta Blake, who's the program director at GAR, has become a really close friend of mine. And she actually introduced me. I think my last show in Cleveland was two Decembers ago, which sounds like a song title. And she was grateful enough to, or gracious enough to jump up and introduce me. And that meant the world. But yeah, man, I grew up listening to it. And there's, you know, just sonically the harmonies, you know, hooked me initially, and the melodies, and then the lyrics and the truth, and the kind of the clarity of production, you know, it's just pedal steel and tellies, and it's a hopeful sound. Even if they're singing about, you know, the worst thing, and despair, there's an honesty and a vulnerability and a hope and a strength that, you know, I don't really find in any other genre of music. You know, country's never angry, but it's always truthful. At least country music. You know, this new pop wave is a little different, and you know, it's fun and stuff. But real country music, that's what it's all about for me. And
yeah, country, you know, music is powerful. Some of your influences. Who influenced you when you were younger?
Michael Peterson. I mean, the usual suspects, you know, George Strait and Alan Jackson. Then they were just the guys who kind of dominated the airwaves when I was growing up. You know, but I also loved and still do, you know, Duncan Sheik.
Great songwriter.
I mean, you know, what he did with Spring Awakening was just
unreal.
Absolute magic.
Yeah.
You know, but I've been listening to Rachmaninoff my whole life, you know, Cuban jazz. So
well-rounded.
A lot of musical, inspiration.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, that's what makes you such a great artist, man. And why your songs are so true. And thank you for, you know, being so honest about country music in that way. I don't think I've had anybody actually answer that question with so much honesty. So beautiful. The movie John Dies at the End, it began as a comic horror novel. You starred in the classic movie version. What do you think resonates with fans to make this movie still so popular?
You know, I think that it doesn't really play by any rules. I've seen that movie now so many times, and I think every time that I watch it, I'm like, holy cow, man, I totally forgot about this entire sequence, you know, and because there's so many sequences, it is an absolute adventure.
Yeah.
It's an adventure movie because it just every twist and turn, like you just don't know what's coming next. And even if you do know what's coming next, like me who read the book and read the script and started the movie, I still forget what's coming next. And to me, that's really, really cool. And I think it just doesn't play by any rules. You know, it's not, set up like most movies, and, you know, you have your acts and, you know, you kind of tidy it up and bookend it and whatever.
You know, a personal question, do you see the glass half empty, half full? What kind of guy are you?
I mean, like I said, man, you know, I try to stay positive and try to stay hopeful. You know, there's a beauty in redemption to me, and you know, my favorite films, and you know, I'm a big proponent of justice. I think the worst thing in the world is an injustice. I don't stand for injustices, you know, and to me, there's identity and character and strength, in embracing, that kind of thinking. Yeah.
Well, you were just actually kind of answering my next question. It was any qualities that you're most proud of?
In myself or?
Yeah. Of yourself. That's qualities so do you, as a person are you most proud of? And some of them you just said, I loved it.
Well, you know, it's interesting, man. It's like, you know, and people go, you're a job interview. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? You know, and how do you answer those questions? And, you know, people spend thousands of dollars working with consultants to figure out how to answer these questions in the right way, an interesting way, and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know what? I'm the very things that I'm proud of in terms of like my characteristics, my qualities, you know, what I embrace and what kind of makes up my identity are like, are the very same things that then like, you know, on an off day, you tend to curse because it's the stuff that's keeping you up at night and not letting you sleep. And, you know, the stuff that's causing heartache and all the stuff that, you know, the stuff doesn't feel so good.
Do you have a, when you were having heartaches, cause we all go through them. Do you have anything that, any mechanisms that help you get through the storm?
It's my music, man. I'm able to speak or sing the truth. You know, I speak the truth into my lyrics and then I'm able to sing it into existence. And you know, I mean, look, I've got a song, you know, that comes out. I'm not sure when this chat of ours will go live, but you know, I've got a song that comes out on September 10th.
That's my birthday.
Well, look at this.
Well, I will be promoting your song on my birthday. That's
not- and well, wait till you hear it first because you might not want it. it's my coronavirus song, and you okay. know, I know everyone's releasing their coronavirus songs, and a lot of them are jokes, and you know, it's like, hey, let's drink in the morning, like you know, who needs work?
Is this going to be? Like, it's not like a TikTok thing. This is a real COVID. No,
it's a real song, and it's serious and it's heavy, and you know, but again, it's the truth that like. You know, it's just, and I feel like there's so much silencing of voices and, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're just human beings trying to do our best. And, you know, what we have going for us is that, you know, we live in the greatest country in the world that, you know, allows us to express what we're feeling and thinking and you know, we're able to say those things. But that's been so curtailed lately. And that's troubling. You know, and who knows, maybe there'll be some backlash from this song and maybe there won't be, but, you know, so be it. And I think that, you know, full circle, going back to what you asked, you know, what are my qualities that I'm most proud of? The other ones that we talked about? Yeah, it's great, but it's also, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It's a blessing. It's a curse. But I think, you know, it's my work ethic and I work hard every single day. Dedicating myself and moving that needle forward, you know, just
amen to that.
Doing something every single day to further my career, further, you know, what gives me gratitude and fulfillment and purpose, you know, and especially now when we are very much stripped of those things that we get from from our employment. You know, there's a lot of identity. And I think, you know, in decades past, you know, people, there was an idea of loyalty, of duty, of obligation, something that's bigger than ourselves. That has totally gone out the window. There's nothing bigger than ourselves now. You know, we're seemingly told, and you look at TikTok and the stuff that's being espoused and embraced is just, you know, it's unbelievable to me, but there's something very, very, very special and prideful, in hard work. Not busy work, not just being busy for the sake of being busy, but actually working with intention and then seeing results.
I mean, that's your work ethic is everything. I think the one thing that my father had always taught me was, you know, a hard day's work, you'll have results. It didn't matter if we were digging fence post lines, or milking cows. You like you said, you move that needle forward. I mean, very, very powerful. Where do you think you got your work ethic?
I know where I got it from. I got it from my parents, and they got it from their parents. You know, my grandparents came over from Lithuania, escaped communist Lithuania, got the hell out of there, and, you know, sailed on a boat and landed in America. And they didn't speak a word of English. They had nothing, literally nothing. I can't even imagine that. Nor can I think, you know, really any of us can, you know, because that's what our country was founded on. And now here we are, you know, we're in a very privileged position because of the sacrifices of the ones that came before us. And I know that my hard work came from my work ethic came from my grandparents. You know, my grandfather was a carpenter. My mom's father. You know, my dad's dad was he fought in the war, and while he was stationed out in the Pacific, he learned banjo and he learned Hawaiian guitar, and then he would gig, you know, like every weekend he was out gigging, and then he would bring my dad around and my dad would join him. Even when my dad was like 8 years old, like he'd bring him to the bar and have him sit on off stage, you know, and be there for the shows, you know, because they didn't have babysitters. And, you know, I don't know if my grandmother was working or what she was doing, but my dad would join him. And then, you know, that filtered down through and passed down. And then my dad was out gigging. And, you know, there's a lot of,
you got some roots there.
Yeah, man. And it runs deep, you know, so
that's beautiful.
I'm keeping that alive.
Yeah. Hell yeah, man. And thank you for doing that. And thank you for writing such beautiful music and staying true to yourself, most importantly. Rob, if you could take a trip in the Jacob Young time machine, what would the advice you would give yourself, your 15-year-old self?
Wait a minute. You got a time machine and you just bring this up now?
I know, right?
You just got to come back and hang
out with me, man. I'll show you. We can go back in time. What advice would you give 15-year-old Rob?
That's a tough one, man. I think there'd be so much stuff that I'd want to say. You know, I'm a big proponent and believer in honesty and in truth. But there's a fine balance in being, you know, blatantly truthful and honest. You know, you can break somebody's spirit and literally ruin them for the rest of their life, by saying something maybe too truthful or how you say it. And, I'm trying to think of an example. I was doing a movie and, there was a young girl. And the director kept telling the girl that she wasn't doing it right, you know, and she was missing her mark. You know, for those that don't know, you got a mark, you got tape on the ground, you got to stand on it in order for the camera to get you in focus. You know, what we do, there's a lot more technicality to it than people, you know, realize. And here's a young girl. I don't know. She's 5 years old. She's 8 years old. I don't know how old children are. It's like the Chris D'Elia bit where he's like, you know, the other day I saw this kid, you know, driving a car, and they're like, no, that's a 21-year-old man. But see, I have no idea how old children are. But regardless, I'm doing this scene with this girl, and she's supposed to be my daughter, you know, and yeah, she misses her mark and she overshoots a little bit. And then, you know, she looked down a little bit, and then she looked, you know, and there was a aggressiveness from, you know, the director. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, what this girl needs is not to be told exactly all the things that she's doing wrong. Tell her what she's doing right and lift her spirit up, because my God, man, you know, one job like that, this little girl could be like scarred for the rest of her life. You know, so impressionable at such a young age, could completely destroy somebody's self-confidence or their desire to pursue something that might, you know, very well be, you know, their calling. And don't take anybody's advice unless you really trust them and you're asking for it. You know, unsolicited advice, I think, is a very, very bad thing.
We talk a lot about on this show praising children, just because I'm a father of three. And just exactly what you were saying about one thing, that a comment that you say to a younger person and how it can impact them for the rest of their lives. And instead of dragging them down with all the things they're doing wrong, why don't we praise them for all the things that they're doing right? That is probably one of the most powerful things I've heard anybody say on the show. So thank you. Thank you. Did you happen to say anything to that director, or did you speak up? Because I know you're strong headed like me.
You know what? It's an interesting thing. I mean, you really pick your battles. I mean, hopefully you're on set and there are no battles to be fought. Like, it's just
goes smoothly.
It's harmonious, and everyone's on the same page and everyone believes in each other. And what's the word? You know, it's a real, you're working together, a collaboration, not always that way. You know, and you pick your battles in those moments. And no, I didn't say anything to this particular director, but, you know, and it wasn't really my job to, but sure. I did say, you know, quite a lot to the girl, and, you know, tell her she was doing great, you know, and smile and make her feel good. And to reinforce, because, you know, man, it's like, we're always told, you know, don't care what people think of you, have thick skin, all this stuff. And it's like, yeah. Yeah. But at the end of the day, like, we are human beings and we require and thrive on community, not isolation. And so in order to have community, like, the community is predicated on acceptance, right? Like, you accept your neighbors, you accept the people within your community. That's acceptance, not throwing in the towel, but like believing so much in yourself that, you know, any of the naysayers aren't going to matter. Like, you're going to you know, complete your mission. You're going to manifest what you're manifesting despite any of the negativity of the naysayers, as opposed to like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm throwing in the towel. I don't care. It's the complete opposite of that. Caring is a good thing.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
I think one of the reasons that I love, you know, 90s music, early 2000s music so much is that there is an earnestness in that music. And there's an earnestness in classic country. But earnestness is not a cool thing anymore. You can't be earnest. You got to be cool, man. Remove, man. You don't care about nothing, man. And it's like, no. You have to care.
Right.
You have to be invested. Otherwise, what life are you living? What are you contributing to?
I love the fact that you're bringing up 90s country music and the earnestness of that. It's so true. And my kids, they, you know, my son specifically, who's now a teenager, you know, it's, you know, he's just a moody teenager. I was a moody teenager, but they are definitely like more withdrawn. And there's a
dude, I'm almost 37 years old. I'm still a moody teenager.
Aren't we all? Oh man, I've got one more question for you, Rob. And this one comes directly from my sponsor, who I love, Boys Town. Now, Boys Town's been around for over 100 years. And there was a famous movie with Spencer Tracy and Mickey Rooney called Boys Town, under the same name, on the same story about Father Flanagan. And their motto is, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. Meaning at some point in our lives, somebody's carried us. Who's carried you?
Who's carried me? Wow. Countless souls. My grandparents, my parents, my family, my friends, my dog. You know, that voice inside ourselves that says, you know, keep going. That's the big one. You know, God, you know, whether you're out there and you believe in God or not, you know, I don't know how you could argue and say, you know, God doesn't exist. You know, you want to go, you know, toe to toe with a hurricane, you know, put him up, bro. I guarantee you're not going to win. Yeah. There's a force that is stronger and more powerful than you, whether whatever you want to call it whatever you want to call it nature. But if you say that you can't, you're going to beat up nature yourself with your bare hands, you're delusional.
Well, that was a brutally honest and beautiful answer. Of course, it takes a team to carry all of us. And God is certainly one of those main players. So I appreciate that. And Rob, we're real blessed to have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on today. And of course, we wish you continued success with both your music, your acting career. Where can people go to find out more about you?
Yeah, you can check out probably my best place, man, is Instagram, Hog City on Instagram. That's where I'm most active. I got my Twitter too, Rob C. Mays, my website, rob-mays.com. But yeah, I mean, for most updated news. And
go to Spotify, or where would you like your fans to go to check out all your tunes?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, anywhere music streams, man. I mean, you know, Spotify and Apple and Amazon, and you know, they've been giving me a whole lot of love in the last recent months, playlist wise. So I'm grateful to that. Yeah. Anywhere you listen to music really, is where you can find it. You know, and I'd love to see you out in the road, you know, come out and catch a show, you know, wherever you guys are based, give me a holler and let me know if you want me to come out there and play a show out there. And then wherever you guys are based.
You heard it. DM Rob. Tell him where
Slide
you want to go.
Into the dims.
Yeah. Dude, well, it's been a real pleasure having you on, and I certainly appreciate it. And I look forward to hopefully working with you again soon.
Dude, I was just going to say the same thing, man. Yeah, really, really appreciate you. Thanks for having me on. Great catching up. Literally just felt like, you know, you and me just catching up.
That's what it's about, man. It's a chit-chat.
Yeah, baby.
All right, Rob. Thanks so much.
All right, man. I'll catch you soon.
Tired of the same old boring popcorn? Want to try something that's delicious and different? If you're like me, sometimes I like a little sweet and salty. Well, Snack Pops did it again with Candy Pop with M&M's and Cookie Pop with Oreos. Make Candy Pop and Cookie Pop your family's go-to movie snack or enjoy on the go. One bite is never enough. Now available at Publix grocery stores, or simply go to snackpop.com and discover the entire line of these tasty popcorn treats. Lane Frostbrand is a proud sponsor of Real Conversations with Jacob Young, the comfortable, stylish, and unique clothing line that commemorates the life of world champion bull rider Lane Frost. Everything from hats to belt buckles. Be sure to check out the whole line of products for the entire family at lanefrost.com, the official shop of the legend for the champion in you. I'd now like to bring on the manager of the Boys Town National Hotline, my dear friend and resident professional, Chris Hallstrom. How are you today?
Well, Jacob, compared to what other people are going through in the world right now, I think I'm doing pretty well. I don't have much to complain about.
Yeah, tell me about it. I was anticipating further damage with the Ida hurricane. And how ironic was it that it was on the anniversary of Katrina?
I know. What are the odds? Well, it was a scary thing.
I prayed for everybody that was out there that was dealing with it, but I'm glad there wasn't as many casualties as and Katrina, and that the levees were able to hold.
Right.
I think they learned something from the last time. Rob Mays, dear friend of mine, I worked on a Hallmark movie with him. Actually, it was a Lifetime Christmas movie that we did. They kind of blend together. And he's done a ton of those. He's a fantastic actor. He's just an all-around artist and has been a musician his entire life, as far as I understand. And he's been going after it for this last decade really, really hard. And he talked a lot about really focusing that drive and to be able to achieve those dreams. What are some ideas and thoughts that we can instill in young people to want to go that distance? And what can they start doing today to make those dreams realities for tomorrow?
Well, one of the things that I love that he said, and he said it multiple times, is you have to work hard. I think a lot of times people sit back and wait for things to happen to them. But he talked about how every single day he really has to work at what he does. And, you know, we all have to be willing to put in that time. If you want to be really good at something, if you want to make improvements, you've got to be willing to put in the time and don't just expect things to be given to you.
Let's be completely frank. This industry, that kind of industry, music, TV, film, it's highly competitive.
Right.
If you're not moving that notch up every single day, or at least manifesting it, somebody else is going to, the early bird's going to get the worm, so to speak.
Right. People are going to pass you by and you're just going to be sitting there waiting for somebody to offer you something. So yeah, I really appreciated that he mentioned that several times, that you just have to work hard for it.
Yeah. And he also talked a lot and resonated with me about how he gets through dark times in his personal life. And without a heartbeat, he said music.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he didn't even have to stop and think. And it was, I don't think it was just listening to music, but it was performing music and writing music and how that is such an important thing. And everybody needs to have that something, you know, not all of us are artists. So music may not be that thing for everybody. Some people, it might just be taking a nap or taking a walk or cooking or whatever.
Crochet.
It is. What is,
exactly. I mean, that's what I do.
Yeah, I'm sure. you know, what is that thing that helps get you through? Some people it's praying. Yeah. Journaling, meditating, whatever it is, like, what is that thing that gets you through? And sometimes it's just the voice track that you put in your head. Like, I can get through this. I'll make it. It's going to be okay. Tomorrow's another day. Whatever those kind of statements are that kind of get you through those rough times are really, really important. And I was impressed that he could just rattle off music right away so quickly.
Like with my daughter, for instance, she seems very confident and always knows how to self-care and knows the things that she likes to do. She likes to draw. She uses her time to her benefit. And she's 8 years old. She just turned 8 years old. Now there's not every kid that's out there that has that ability to do that. What are some of the ways that we could, as parents, sort of help guide that to find that creative source or whatever that one thing is?
That is really a good question, because you're right. Some kids just intuitively know, like, they'll go sit in a corner, read a book, and they're perfectly happy. Some kids it's playing a video game. Some kids it is singing in front of the TV or whatever. I think one of the things we have to do as parents is watch the things that our kids are doing in their downtime. What are the things that make them happy? What are the things that frustrate them too? Because sometimes we may think that, oh, of course they're going to love to do this. Well, they don't. And just broadening our kids' experience, taking them different places, letting them see different things, and then just sit back and watch when their eyes light up, or what is it that kind of seems to make them tick?
You know, one thing I've noticed as a parent too is my kids don't like everything that I like or liked as a kid. Weird to me. They're supposed to like everything I like, right?
Yes.
You mean they have their own minds?
Yeah. You don't like to read Little House on the Prairie. What do you mean? No, to each his own, but everybody has to figure out what that one thing is. And as a parent, you have to expose your kids to different things and watch what it is that kind of resonates with them. I appreciated that he even talked about all the different kinds of music he was used to listening to. To me, that is such a good thing to do with kids, because a lot of times, you know, kids are very much into today's music, but just to let them hear some of the music from the past or different kinds of genres or whatever, like, I just think it broadens their perspective.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they get real, tunnel vision, I think, with TikTok,
exactly.
Especially. Yeah. I mean, that's commercial radio of today, right?
Right.
This the TikTok. So like those songs get played over in like a million different videos. So yeah, that's going to be the new hit. But we're not necessarily always bringing back some of that great music that influenced those artists of today. And to be able to broaden the horizons, I think is equally as important.
Yeah. And sometimes you have to do it subtly. You don't want to shove it down their throat because then they'll never want to listen to it. But if you do it in a way where it's like, okay, this music's playing in the background. And I just think it's good for kids to.
You're going
to
listen to the Philharmonic and you're going to like it.
Yes. You'll love every minute of it. I remember how devastated I was when my kids hit a point where they didn't like listening to Christmas music anymore. And it's like, what do you mean? Like, we have listened to Christmas music every year starting, you know, Thanksgiving on. And I was like, oh my gosh, how disheartening. I think they're over
now. It will come back.
Yeah, it'll come back. So, yeah.
Yeah,
you just never know. But yeah.
I never stop. You know, I'm a musician, but I love Christmas music. I'm a sucker for Christmas music. And sometimes I'll throw Dean Martin on and a random Christmas tune comes in because, you know, Dean's been known for, you know, obviously singing lots of Christmas tunes. And it's middle of summer. Baby, it's cold outside.
My husband, the same thing. And I will tell you that probably is one of his coping skills when something's frustrating him. We'll get in the car and I'm like, why are you listening to Christmas music? I don't know. It just made me happy. That's okay.
That's lovely.
That's a simple thing to do. So, you know,
I
hurt anybody.
Yeah. And I'm glad that Rob talked about that. I love too about the he ain't heavy question. And, you know, he was not shy about talking about everybody that's influenced his life. You know, I've had some guests on here and obviously everybody has lived their own journey and they've gotten through those hurdles, gone over those hurdles each as individuals. But more and more when I ask the question and somebody says, well, no, I basically helped myself. They start to think about it and they go, well, you know, there was this person. And well, then let me think again. And there was that other person.
And they start listing off all sorts of people. Yeah.
But Rob had
good for people to realize that.
Yeah. He realizes it right away. You know, it's funny. Some people just don't quite see it as that way. It's, but also, you know, there's difference because we're talking, I talk a lot to these professionals, right? I talk to professionals in the acting world or in the music world, or I've got a race car driver that's coming up in a couple episodes, Tommy Kendall. And you know, sometimes their parents have nurtured that, or sometimes they've had to fight for it.
Right.
And say, mom, dad, this is what I want in my life. And a lot of parents go, well, no, you're going to go to college and you're going to get an engineer degree and you're going to do X, Y, and Z because that's
what you'll like it.
And you're going to like it.
But that doesn't always work, does it? No.
But with that mentality, though, going back to the he ain't heavy question, you know, yes, that's what I, you know, sometimes they have to, you individually have to find it. Sometimes it's nurtured. And he was really clear that his parents and his friends and his family and songwriters and people that he's been working with for years have been there.
Right. And I also, he mentioned something at some point about earnestness and caring about other people and how important that was. And how sometimes in today's world, we're so worried about being cool. But how the caring and earnestness really honestly is so much more important. You know, if you knew as a kid that being caring about other people and being kind to other people would give you so many more benefits in life, you know, would that change maybe how you've treated people all along? So, that was a good interview.
Yeah. And there was an interesting moment about that. He was talking about being on set on a film and he saw the director berating a very young girl, like probably 8, 9 years old, who's just really sort of getting her footing in a very confusing environment because it's not just it's one thing to deliver lines and learn your lines, but it's another thing to technically know where to stand, how to stand, are you in your light? Are you blocking somebody else's light? And then there's all these technical areas you need to be looking to understand. And it sounds like this director was frustrated and that's why I asked him because I have a really hard time and maybe that's been like down a fault of mine over the years. I have a really hard time keeping my mouth shut. If I see something that I know is not professional and is out of line, I have no problem calling a director out on it.
Right.
And, or, you know, in that environment, especially if it's involving kids. So that's,
you know, it's interesting because then he started to think about it and he realized, well, I guess I didn't call the director out, but I tried to be really nice to the girl and praise her with some thing for the things she was doing right. So yeah, you know, there's different ways to do it.
Absolutely.
You never quite know the things that you say, what's going to stick with people. And I think that is kind of an important lesson. Like, I wonder what that girl, if she remembers that situation now and she remembers how he was kind to her.
I'm sure. I just recently had a mother contact me. There were twin boys that played my son on All My Children, Rory and Declan. Great kids. They even did Boardwalk Empire Boardwalk, that series.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
They had done a bunch of stuff, but now they're like going off to college. I mean, they were just kids and like makes me feel old, but the mother had reached out to me and said, I'm doing something special for them. And I want to put together, emails and different photos and collages and things like that for them to take along. And could you give them some words of advice? Because you were always there and you were so nice and always gentle and kind and made them, you supported them. I didn't know any other way. Right. You know, right. That's just my nature.
Instinctually, yeah, exactly.
You know, it's my mom, you know, my dad always said you kill more flies with honey and always be good to everybody because they'll be good back to you.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, so she reached out all these years later and I made a huge impact on their lives. And she wanted to make sure that I was involved with that. And I thought,
that's neat.
Maybe give myself a little pat on the back.
And you know what? Did that make you feel better?
It did.
Did that make you feel good? And that's what being kind and nice to other people, like you don't sometimes realize what a great boost that is for yourself. Like you feel better because you've been kind to other people. You don't always expect something in return, but it really is. It gets you out of yourself and it makes you think about other people. So
it sure does. Well, all in all, that was a fantastic interview with Rob and I loved his words of enlightenment and his insights. And they were just very, very strong all around.
Yep. Very good interview once again.
Well, thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Jacob.
That's about all the time we have for today, but Real Conversations with Jacob Young, the mental health podcast, is sponsored by Boys Town. And at Boys Town, their slogan is, "He ain't heavy, he's my brother." And for over 100 years, Boys Town has been saving children and healing families. They're only one call away, and they're always there to help. Please go to boystown.org for all the details on how to access Boys Town's health services, or simply go to yourlifeyourvoice.org. And if you're in crisis or need immediate help, please call the trained counselors at the Boys Town National Hotline at 800-448-3000, 800-448-3000, or text VOICE to 20121. Thanks for joining me on Real Conversations. I'm Jacob Young. Till next time, love yourself and love each other.